Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Super Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and I'm tired. Physically tired? Tired of the world? The answer is yes. And with me, I have...
There is no pandemic in Ba Sing Se. There is no pandemic. Oh, God. I hate when that happens.
And...
Yeah, I'm doing this while sitting down. He'll do it while I'm sitting down, Christopher Nolan. Okay, I'm getting to have a cell phone on set of movies because I don't know, you don't want no interruptions, but no fucking chairs. You didn't think to sit in your fucking time, maybe, I don't know, people lifting shit or moving things around, like, that's just fucking stupid. That's just kind of just fucking asinine.
Like, dude, I get that you're stubborn about making movies and shit, but like, there's a limit. And I don't know if this is just a thing where you're getting brainworms because of how badly the pandemic is fucking with Tenet, but like, you're gonna have to calm yourself at some point. And I say this as someone who generally likes your movies. Chill.
Yeah, seconded. Like, don't do that, man. Come on. Not cool.
Nobody likes those if you have time to lean, you have time to clean types.
All those invisible assholes. And I was gonna lean in with the whole chicken tender crystal looking thing, which is kind of fascinating, to be honest. It's like, oh, here it is.
I can't wait to break my teeth trying to find out. It's gonna look like Looney Tunes, like when Wile E. Coyote fucking gets the piano teeth. God, I hope Acme has dental insurance. Else I'm fucked. Yeah. Anyway, episode 182. So, how's the pandemic still treating everyone?
Well, I can tell you that the pandemic is causing some weird lag on everyone's end, which is weird, but we'll work through it. As for me personally, more than usual. Somehow work has gotten busier despite the dum-dums not listening. Also, PSA, wear your friggin' mask. Don't be a moron. Or an individual going by a very certain name. Just saying.
Remember, kids, Slipknot can wear masks for well over an hour and a half performing intense metal shows night after night. Your ass can wear it for 30 minutes, to go to frickin' Publix.
Yeah, precisely. And in my latest adventures of finding ways to buy the time, I did something stupid. I watched Scoob on HBO Max. Fun fact, it was bad.
That seems like the opposite of fun.
I'm not saying bad as in it was bad for a kid's movie. No, this is a bad movie. It's everything I was dreading about this movie, everything I was hoping it wouldn't do, it did. And it sucked. And this is coming from a guy who grew up on Scooby-Doo, the old cartoons, because that was all on the Cartoon Network in the year 2000, some of the newer stuff. This ain't it. Not by a friggin' long shot. It's just... it was bad. It was really bad. Such is the case with all these movies just getting dumped onto streaming. Which reminds me, I'm still trying to weigh the pros and cons of actually sitting through Artemis Fowl.
I heard not so good things about that movie.
But at least Hamilton is finally dropping on Friday, which means finally all of us non-rich people can finally watch it. Finally.
Yeah, speaking of which, that reminds me, I still need to check out that new Eric Andre special.
I hear good things about that, along with many other things that I don't have the time for, except when I do. Because time is a social construct and is completely meaningless.
Sure, words have never been spoken. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Yeah, it's been the same old, except usually it's time while work days have been slightly longer, at least I have some more days off than you, or days off, which thankfully this weekend, I get to enjoy what I always do around this time. Anime con shit, or virtual anime con shit.
Yeah, that's coming up this weekend. That's going to be fun to cover.
Yay, because that's the most important thing this weekend. Like I said, it is the most important thing. Nothing else matters. There you go.
Cosine.
But yeah, things have been just, whatever, just either work or just look and do shit on either YouTube or we find some stuff on Hulu or Netflix, whatever, just doing whatever.
Yeah, that's just kind of been the same here, bouncing around streaming stuff, having things to watch, although mostly I've just been watching Hell's Kitchen, leaving it on in the background so I can actually, like, catch up on other things, like, some manga that I haven't read in, like, let me check my notes here, a year!
Damn.
Yes, I'm a year behind on several things. That's, you can tell because I was surprised when I found out that The Promised Neverland recently ended. I was like, wait, shit, already? Wait, how many, what was the last thing? Shit, I haven't read that since fucking July. Huh. Well, so I'm in the middle of catching up on that now, among other things. Also, I might be a bit tired because I had to wake up earlier than usual to take my car to the mechanic. Because I haven't done routine maintenance on it in, like, 4 months? Well, 4 months past when the sticker in my car said I had to. I mean, in my defense, it's not like I was really going anywhere because of this little thing called COVID-19.
So, in other words, 4 years!
Just about in car time. Time, son of a bitch. But, yeah, that, aside from that, nothing else really going on my end. So, this is just about time for us to jump into our usual nonsense, starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be the playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us and, you know, hear some good new songs to add to your playlist. Starting right up at the top, it's been a while since we visited the camp of 2 Minutes to Late Night in their various bedroom covers, so here's the most recent one that, you know, dropped when we were planning up the thing. This one came out around Father's Day, and it's a cover of Candy's Room, a 1978 song by the boss himself, Bruce Springsteen. And the motley crew of this particular cover is as follows. Minnie Parsons from Royal Thunder on vocals, Steven Brodsky from Cave In and Mutoid Man on guitars. Just as a quick refresher, in case I haven't ever mentioned it before, Mutoid Man is the in-house band for 2 minutes on the main show. Jeff Matz from High on Fire on bass, Emily Lee of Shearwater and Snake Oil on keyboards, and befitting a cover of The Boss, who else would you get on drums but Slipknot's Jay Weinberg, who, if you need a refresher, is the son of Max Weinberg, longtime drummer for Springsteen's E Street Band. So this is very much a Father's Day gift for him, as you can imagine. Now, for the original song itself, it pretty much sounds like what I would expect out of 70s rock. Full disclosure, I'm not intimately familiar with the discography of The Boss, but it's got like a decent, sort of building of volume as it opens up with these soft, delicate ramp up of the piano, the hi-hat rolls, and these kind of low-key rambling vocals, building into this more energetic, like stadium rock chorus and bridge. Pretty solid as far as late 70s rock is concerned, and as you can expect from the 2 minutes, like, house style at this point, and the artist they like to work with, this of course takes the original song and gives it a nice, beefy, kind of almost sludgy metal interpretation, amping up the tempo a few notches, and coating the production in that kind of fuzz-heavy instrumental tones that characterize, you know, the various bands that get involved in this, like, Royal Thunder and Mutoid Man and all that shit. With, of course, plenty of fast, rapid drum fills and patterns courtesy of Mr. Weinberg, some wild, shreddy soloing from Brodsky. Yeah, it's a fun cover. I dig it.
I also dig it. I've never been too big on Springsteen personally, but this cover is excellent, so that's a good point in its favor. Along with having, as you mentioned, Jay Weinberg on drums for this. Even if those electronic drum sounds aren't super great, I'm sorry. Please switch to Tune Track or get good drums, please. Don't use the stock kits in the modules, please. I'm kind of snobby about electronic drums, what I'm trying to say.
I might have a comment about that for later, but we'll stick a pin in that for now. Time to move on to our next song here. So, of course, Mr. Justin K. Broderick has been quite busy as of late, you know, with some recent Godflesh material and that collaborative album that he and the Bug put out with More Mother under the name Zonal. But now he's returning to one of his other projects, that being the more ambient post-industrial Jesu. They're dropping a mini LP this Wednesday called Never, and we have the single Because of You to promote it here. And it pretty much sounds like about what you would expect from the Jesu camp. It's mainly this very wavy, synthetic, warbled, kind of almost industrial winter soundscape in a sense, with lots of vocal echoing. Like, the way it kind of starts off, the vocals kind of sound like they're being rewound or they're, like, backmasked in the mix. There's these kind of bass pulsations throughout that kind of give the floaty ambience a vague grounding. There is something of an actual drum beat later on in the song to add context to everything. And then, of course, Justin's vocals echoing all over the soundscape. I get this probably won't be for everyone if, like, you know, droning industrial post isn't your thing, but honestly, I've kind of need something to, like, just de-stress and wind down lately, and this has kind of been doing it for me, so take that as you will.
Yeah, I can call this track Dark Chill. It's very ominous and atmospheric, but also something you can just lean back and sort of vibe out to. Unlike
this next track that we have here. Now, as I'm sure we all remember, last year, the Japanese band Boris dropped a double album called Love and Evil. But they're never ones to just sit still for too long. I mean, you don't release as many albums as they have in their career unless you're prone to not taking breaks. They're like the Masahiro Sakurai of Japanese metal bands. So, of course, they've got a new project coming out this Friday, simply titled No. Which, you know, isn't that 2020 in a nutshell? No. So, of course, we have the promotional single Loveless here, and compared to the immediately doomier and sludgy tones of Love and Evil, this is more in the immediate sort of instant gratification style of Boris, kind of like the album Noise. It starts right away with this really steady pounding drum beat, these fuzzy riffs, this kind of squealy, uneasy guitar lead. Then the bulk of the first half speeds into this kind of driving DB drum rhythm with tons of that thick, heavy syncopation in the riffs and the cymbals. Just really immediate tone, especially with how the vocals are very shouty and punk-like with some of those lower end, you know, growls in there as well. And then, of course, halfway through, it does slow down into the more traditional doomy slowness with those kind of, like, you know, drawn out, echoey, clean vocals that are more what you would expect from that side of Boris. And I'm like, yeah, I'm down. This slaps.
Okay, first off, Jesus Christ, those low-tuned, sludgy as fuck guitars. God, boom. Yeah, heavy. And this track is also equally punk as it is doomy, going from a frantic first half to a much slower second half. It's very good, very heavy, very sludgy. In a good way, that doesn't, you know, put me to sleep.
Indeed. Yep, so that's going to be a fun thing to hear on Friday. Now, moving on to our next track here, which comes courtesy of Billboard number one chart topper Megan Thee Stallion. Of course, not gonna let the momentum of her career slow down anytime soon. She comes courtesy with a new single called Girls in the Hood. And if you're wondering, hey, that kind of sounds like a reference to that one NWA song, then the instrumental of this song agrees with you as well. Basically, yeah, taking that classic, you know, beat and just kind of throwing in some really choppy, aggressive guitars as well, because, you know, gotta modernize it. And all I'm really gonna say about the song is, A, it slaps. B, let me quote the choice lyric that I'm sure everybody paid attention to. Quote, I'ma make him eat me out while I'm watching anime. Pussy like a wild fox looking for a Sasuke. See, Lil Uzi Vert, this is how you reference Naruto in a rap song.
I knew he was going to mention that.
That's just a dream, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Don't forget, there's a pure certified banger. Is making on the hot girl shit, and she does it well. Like, she Carpenter's style works on this track, and she knows she ain't fucking around. but yeah, definitely the anime line did got me laughing. but yes, it's a dope song.
Yeah, so now we move on from that to our next track here, the most recent entry in the Adult Swim Singles program. This one coming courtesy of one of my favorite metal acts, and possibly some of yours, the contemporary grindcore greats Full of Hell. Because again, much like Boris, these guys never take a fucking break. So they come courtesy with a solo track called Language of Molten Cherubs. And it swings right out of the gate with some really face-melting, grinding noise coated in all that fuzzy, bassy low-end, quickly segueing into this very sparse industrial bridge with the slow, pounding buildup of the drums, the grounding vocals, this kind of sparse, droning bass synth, segueing into these equally unnerving, like, squealing atonal guitars and noise, to the point where it almost kind of sounds less like guitars and more like just like a really, really old sink. You know, the kind of really rusty kinds that you always hear in, like, horror movies as, like, misdirection before the serial killer comes out and gets you. And then, of course, once the full band kicks back in, it's more of the slow doom lane inside of Full of Hell, the kind that you would expect if they were collaborating with The Body or something like that. You know, with the guitars belting out just this single elongated chord over and over to maintain the noisy essence as it builds into this huge saturated wall of noise and feedback all the way towards the end. And yeah, I like Full of Hell, in case you can't tell, and this is definitely some really fire shit.
Oh, boy, I'm going to be that guy, aren't I? Okay, so that Boris track didn't bore me, but remember what I said last time about how super raucous, sludgy noise is like a lullaby to me? It's the same deal here. I just felt like I needed 2 cups of coffee after trucking through this track. It does nothing for me. It's like turning on the Home Shopping Network at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm out in 3 minutes. I'm sorry. Nothing for me.
You know, I'm pretty much expecting that at this point. We're pretty much never seeing eye to eye on these things. It's almost like a tradition at this point.
I said I'm sorry. God.
I don't blame you. I'm just saying. This is an inevitability. I have been prepared for this. Now, moving on to our next track here, while we're still on the tangent of Adult Swim, earlier in the year, around January, February, if I recall correctly, we got an Adult Swim single courtesy of an industrial noise band called Uniform. And as it turns out, they are releasing a new album this year. It's coming out September 11th, and it's called Shame. So we have the lead-off single here called Delco, and it sounds about what you would expect of from what I heard listening to their full discography. It comes out of the gate with this steady pounding drum beat, this really aggressively scratchy shouted vocal style, this really kind of mechanically rigid rhythmic progression, especially with the way the guitars match up perfectly with, like, the, you know, mechanic pounding of the drums. I mean, hell, some of the favorite parts are, like, when the guitars actually back off and you can hear, like, that really dingy bass tone shine through with nothing but, like, the feedback filling in the empty space and everything. Again, as a guy who likes himself some noise, this noise is absolutely doing it for me.
Well, this is it's all right. Some pretty pulsing industrial punk, and I do like the more lo-fi approach to the mix on the track. It's all right. It's all right by me.
And speaking of Adult Swim-related tangents, by any chance, does anybody remember about a couple years ago, I believe, 2018, when all of a sudden, out of the blue, we got a brand new 12-ounce Mouse special airing, combined with the announcement of a third season that, if I recall correctly, is in fact supposed to be airing sometime this year? Hell, we even saw a sneak preview of it on an April Fool's Day on Adult Swim, along with a bunch of other Adult Swim stuff, so if you don't remember that special, the only thing you do need to remember, other than the fact that 12-ounce Mouse continues to be one of the most bizarrely fascinating things in the entire Adult Swim canon, is that it closed out with a special song courtesy of the power metal group Amaranth. And as it turns out, Amaranth, they are coming back yet again with a new album this year called Manifest, coming out October 2nd. Of course, we have the lead-off single here, Viral, and this sounds about as straightforward and simple as it could get with this band. Like, it focuses a lot on these really syncopated, grooving, like, guitar riffs and drum rhythms with kind of a vague, like, disco metal vibe, especially when you hear the way the synths play off it, kind of half power metal, half 70s dance party, at least as much as you can get in that weird context. There is a decent halftime breakdown that's really brief somewhere in the song, but other than that, it's the same kind of groove that's just kind of hitting over and over again. It kind of melts together after a while. It's not bad, but it kind of loses its flavor after like halfway through for me.
Yada, yada, yada. Technology will be the second coming, and it will hit us while we're looking for a man. We've heard it all before. Additionally, I am not digging how this is structured like a pop song. In fact, because I heard this on the way to work this morning, the Chevelle song, I get it. That is a pop song. It is structured perfectly as a pop song. This is like that, but not as good. And please get those electronic trap beats hiding in the background in the bridge out of here. It's not needed. I'm not the only one who heard that, right? That was just... Why? And why are there three singers here? Like, we really need three singers in one band? That's venturing off into gimmick territory.
Well, I mean, you said it yourself. It is very pop-oriented. Maybe they're trying to be like a boy band like Hanson or something.
Or like...
Except with like... fucking bad grooves and shit.
I was thinking more like S Club 7.
Oh, dear God.
What the hell?
Yeah. 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 That's, yeah.
Remember that being a thing?
The guy who made American Idol.
We don't speak of S Club 7.
They know what they did.
Unfortunately... By the way, speaking of American Idol, why the fuck was Simon Cowell in Scoob?
I don't know. It's just... What the... I'm pulling my hair out right now because I'm trying to... God!
How long were they sitting on that movie for?
Development for about 4 years, I think.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's just there to be the instigator to the plot. That's all.
I'm not even going to ask.
Bad movie. Ooh.
Let's move on to our next song here. So, Denzel Curry, of course, has been keeping pretty busy. He had that really excellent Blood Moon tape at the beginning of the year, the Kenny Beats collab EP Unlocked. He's been doing guest spots here and there. Shit, he even, if I recall correctly, appeared on the most recent IDK EP, IDK and Friends 2.
It's out now, which I didn't know till now.
Yeah, we literally figured that out, like, right when we went to record this. And here he is once again, appearing on a track from a rapper whose existence I still can't believe is real just based on the name alone. That being Guap Dad 4000. And what I don't get about that name, since I'm not sure if I ever mentioned it here, is the fact that it's the 4000 part that gets to me. Like... There's the implication that there's at least one other rapper with the name Guap Dad, so he had to come up with, like, a number to register it in, like, domains and shit. Or worse, what if there's, like, 3,999 other Guap Dads? That's a lot of Guap Dads!
But do those other 3,999 pitch shift their vocals up?
I'm not sure.
Because apparently the 4,000th one is trying to sound like Lil Uzi Vert for some reason.
Well, honestly, I was going to say, okay, so the song we have here is called Lil Scammer That Could, for reference. And my first thought was, so this is what Young Thug would sound like if he was mildly coherent. At least as far as vocal performance. At least I could make out what he's saying, even if he's doing like the nasally whine thing. But there's nothing really memorable about his bars other than the weird chorus line, way too many hoes on my dick, I can't even take a fucking piss, and something about a DMV money laundering scheme.
It says, this belongs, my money belongs to the DMV line. And also this one line, big weird stuff, after like R. Kelly, little bruh, after the whole I can't take a fucking piss, which, yeah, we get it.
Ah.
Yeah, get it. And yeah, I will say Guap Dad's bars are, well, they're there. I mean, they're not bad. They're just like, they're there. I mean, you know why we picked this song. How do you think about Denzel's verse? Well, what do you expect?
Yeah, of course, Denzel, he fucking blows it out of the water, as always.
Yeah. Yeah, and also this weird-ass video. Like, I make this...
Okay,
this
so again, like, the video is absolutely the... The video's the second best part of the song. First Denzel, then the video. As weird and dumb as it is, I kind of have to respect it for that.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you have to want to see the him, I think it might be Guap Dad wearing some garden hose for, I don't know, shorts or something. Like, he's just standing there, and then this weird visual shit. And then, I think there's like this train, which I'm guessing he's Guap Dad the tank engine or something. Hanging in and about to run over a cat, which. Yeah. I don't know why I remember that one Zamoni thing from either, I'm guessing either Deadpool or regular show. I think a regular show was something for some reason. Or either one of them, like. But yeah.
Good times.
But yeah. Song's alright, but the video is good. It's that good.
I could just watch that over and over again. Anyway, moving on to our next song here. So, as we have mentioned multiple times, and we'll continue to mention until everybody fucking pulls their head out of their ass, this pandemic is bullshit. Just frustrating bullshit in every conceivable capacity. And one band that likely agrees as well is Brujeria, the Spanish language death and groove metal outfit consisting of a whole bunch of people who have cycled in and out of their lineup. They mostly go by, like, you know, Spanish language pseudonyms, but the members do have connections to groups like Napalm Death, Fear Factory, and I believe one of their current vocalists is Jessica Pimentel, you know, the actress from Orange is the New Black, who I believe is also dating the drummer or the guitarist from Meshuggah, I forget which one. But, yeah, so they're here with a song called COVID-666. Get it? It's a satanic reference to something. Maybe they're referencing the ungodly tone of the clearly obvious fake programmed electronic kit. Like, okay, I understand Alex's complaints about Jay Weinberg's playing on the Candy's Room cover. That didn't bother me as much, but here, this is just fucking way too obvious. Like, I get, obviously, they had to use an electric kit because, you know, probably multiple conflicting reasons, but, like, you really couldn't have found a better set of tones, even just coming through the defaults or, like, downloading some kind of, like, tone pack or something, whatever they call those. And other than that, it's just, like, a pretty basic, groovy death metal song. The riffs are super simple. There's lots of aggressive, gnarled growling in Spanish about the pandemic. Not much to say. It's just there.
Okay, short version, not great. Long version, esta banda no podría ser sutil con su mensaje. Es un ritmo básico con voces abiertas en todas partes. Tratando de sonar hardcore y simplemente existente. Además, no cortes la máscara abierta, idiotas.
I'm going to have to give you a raise for that. Well done.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knew I knew a little bit of Spanish from high school with some added assistance from technology? But, you know, if they can pull off that kind of crap with terrible program drums, I could do the same thing except make it good.
All right. So time to move on to our next track here. So, Big Boy. Looks like there's a new project from him coming out soon. I don't know if it's a full-on collaboration with or just this one song. I kind of forgot to jot that down, but yeah. He's working with a singer called Sleepy Brown for an album called The Big Sleepover. And the single that we have to talk about here is Can't Sleep. And you know what? I'm starting to think he saw that episode of Killer Mike's Trigger Warning on Netflix. You know, the one where they try to start an entire religion around the concept of sleep and Killer Mike's friend that really likes sleep. That's just my guess, though.
Well, I mean, we'll see. It might be a concern. Like, you know, like both Killer Mike and Big Boy are connected, since, you know, they, you know, come from the same, you know, they are classed several times, so they come from, you know, the same musical background, like part of the Dungeon Family. About the song. Song is, it's pretty alright. Like, I heard Sleepy Brown before on Chuck's with Big Boy, and okay, I like his livery. I like the course he gave, man. And Big Boy, he does fine here too. Like, he got the one verse. Although, I do find some lines kind of right. Like, black, the ass crack addict. Sorry, sucking on the veggie like she never had a salad. Bad thing about it, she fucking up her shit when a nigga put the carrots on her hand, trying to marry her. Some choice bars are kind of, I mean, they're all right, and there's some way I kind of question, but yeah, all right, the song's okay, I guess. I like the beat of it sounds good. It does sound like something, this is something I would hear like maybe a few years back, but it's not like a dated sound. I think it's more like a, you know, like very like some type of smooth type of shit, but yeah.
Sounds very 2000s rap/R&B to me. But that's just one man's opinion. Alright, moving on to our last track here, and oh boy, these guys are back. Alright, so I guess to catch everyone up to speed, a little bit of context here, so Bring Me the Horizon has been pissing me off lately. For reasons. Pretty much ever since 2013 or so, when they decided they wanted to be lame. You know, just making their sound more and more weak sauce, up to the point where in, I believe, 2018, they put out their ultimate transition into basically mediocre contemporary pop rock. They did, in fact, get the Imagine Dragons treatment, and then they just farted out a bullshit surprise album at some point at the end of 2019. To the point where they're doing collaborations with Halsey, although, to be fair, mildly, the Halsey track that they worked on for Suicide Squad is probably the best thing that either of those two have done in ever, but that's not exactly a high bar to clear.
That was on Birds of Prey.
God damn it.
Yeah, that's the...
Can you tell I haven't been getting much sleep lately? So, anyway, as it turns out, Bring Me the Horizon have been busy in their home studios cooking up some kind of release. From what I've read, apparently they want to put out, like, four or so EPs that, when grouped together, will form a full album. You know, kind of like what Acacia Strain have been doing as far as the build-up to Slow Decay. And we have one of those songs here, a track called Parasite Eve. Which, as far as my reading of the lyric, doesn't entirely have anything to do with the classic Square Enix franchise. Although, to be fair, I'm guessing this must be what they want them to remake next. Which, if that's the point, then I agree. You should absolutely remake Parasite Eve. The original game is a goddamn classic.
Ignore the third one, though.
We don't speak of the third birthday. Although, maybe you could clean up Parasite Eve 2 so that way it's not shit. So, speaking of video games, imagine my surprise when it turns out that some of the production on this song was handled by Mick Gordon. And no, that's not a name alike. It is, in fact, the same Mick Gordon from the Doom series. Okay, so where does that leave us with the song itself? Well, I mean, when it opens up, there's a lot of discordant vocal chanting, these low pulsating electronic synths, with some scattered raised synths over top, and it sounds like, boy, it's pretty much what the last two albums have been. And then when the chorus hits, out of left field, it sounds like Bring Me the Horizon remembered what drums and guitars sound like. And the drums actually sound like they're being played by a person. There still is a little bit of syntheticness in there, though, but who am I to completely judge, aside from being a critic on this podcast? But anyway, so it segues into this kind of metalcore-ish groove that feels more towards the vein of That's the Spirit, that friggin' album, and with how it segues into this bridge after the second chorus with this very deliberate blending of synths and guitars, it's like, ah, there's the Mick Gordon influence. So, aside from that, the flow of the song overall, my opinion, I feel like I'm being tricked somehow. Because this feels like the type of song you're going to put out if you're trying to reassure the people like me who have been bitching about the past few albums. Like, no, don't worry, we can be heavy again. Ollie Sykes remembers what screams are. And, like, you go into the actual albums, or EPs rather, themselves, and it's like, I feel like there's going to be a trick. There's some kind of trap here, isn't there? What aren't you telling me?
Oh. That was very lengthy. I was honestly expecting this track to be another typical modern alt-rock phone-in track that we've heard countless times over for the last several years, but color me surprised. I actually kind of dig this. And I'm someone who's not a big fan of Bring Me the Horizon, so yeah, the verses are kind of iffy with how they're structured. But that chorus is solid. Mostly due to the real instruments being used. And in that bridge, very on-point verses here. When all the king's sources and all the king's friends don't know their asses from their pathogens, when life is a prison and death is a door, this ain't a warning, this is a war. That's good. That is a good set of lines right there. Yeah, good track. If it's a one-off, it's fantastic. If it's part of something grander, I don't know. There's the whole four EP, four album thing that may or may not happen. I mean, look how well it did for Miley Cyrus. Oh, wait, we still haven't heard of those other two EPs since 2018.
Oh, shit, that's right.
Yeah, remember that one? Yeah, I bet you don't.
I haven't thought about it until you brought it up, so point exactly. But I suppose we'll have to wait and see. Apparently, Mick Gordon has also done production on more tracks for the group, so that might not be the last we hear of him with them. Lord wonders if the rest of the track titles are going to be named after classic PlayStation games. I mean, they would put it above them. This is the same band that once wrote a song called Shadow Moses. So, yeah, with that out of the way, we are done with the song discussion. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have some scattered news topics, so stay tuned. And we're back. So, first up on the docket, flashback to a couple years ago, 2018, with the Good Music Summer, where we got five releases in a row from the relative musical camp of Kanye West, which included some pretty notable releases, perhaps the most notable being the 10 out of 10 from The Melon, Kids See Ghosts, the collaboration between Kanye West and Kid Cudi. And looks like that won't be the last we'll be hearing of those two, because apparently, sometime this year, we're going to be getting a CGI-animated Kids See Ghosts series. So, there is a 2-minute trailer that's currently available that you can see, like, a peek of it. It's directed by frequent Kanye West collaborator Takashi Murakami. And from what we can tell from the video, Well, I mean, I'm not sure what the plot is, but there apparently is one. You know, you have Kid Fox, voiced by, Kid Cudi, and Kanye Bear, voiced by Kanye West. And when they're just minding their own business, you know, driving down the street in their bikes and whatnot. Then they get swallowed by some kind of interdimensional portal. They wake up in a graveyard. They get swallowed by another interdimensional portal at some weird demon things. They get rescued by, like, some friggin' tokusatsu transforming human jet fighter thing. And then they wake up outside what looks like Dracula's castle from Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Yeah, if you're wondering if there's any context that I'm leaving out, I'm honestly not sure there is. This trailer just kind of goes all over the place. I think it looks cool. I'll give it that. There's a decent quality to the CG, and there's some pretty nice 2D flourishes here and there to, help flesh things out. So we'll see whenever this drops, whatever the hell is going on with this.
He looks interesting enough. I mean, I don't know why the fucks remind me of something out of Five Nights at Freddy's for some reason. I mean, it just does. I mean, I know the bear is because, you know, that's, I don't know the bear because that's, you know, basically Kanye's past. This look kind of interesting. Like, I wonder what it'll be on. I want to say Netflix, but that's too easy. But that's too easy to guess. It's like, well, no, like, but then again, who do you see besides Netflix getting this? Like, what, like, I don't know, what, Amazon or, okay, no, maybe not that. You know, but then again, they did get the Childish Gambino project, but it's up in the air.
Yeah, we'll just have to see whenever that drops, I suppose.
Speed of streaming services!
Yeah, this came out of nowhere,
yeah,
didn't it?
So as we were talking earlier, a bunch of streaming stuff, you know, in general, including the coming soon of Hamilton to Disney Plus, so that way you can watch it without having to drop mad bank on Broadway tickets, you know, assuming there's any available. But in a recent rather surprise announcement, the streaming service Disney Plus announced that they are getting a new visual album, courtesy of Beyoncé, called Black is King, inspired by the recent live-action adaptation of The Lion King, from which she was heavily featured on the soundtrack. It's going to be premiering July 31st on the service, so just a year out from the theatrical release of the remake. Again, as a reminder, she voiced Nala. And, yeah, so the album features guest appearances from the likes of Childish Gambino, Kendrick Lamar, Pharrell, 070 Shake, Tierra Whack, Jay-Z, Blue Ivy Carter, and Jesse Reyes, including a handful of African artists like Wizkid, Shate Wale, Burna Boy, Mr. Easy, Tiwa Savage, Tekno, Yemi Alade, Busiswa, and Salatiel. So, yeah, you know, obviously, with how well her last visual album did for HBO, you know, when Lemonade premiered there, Lord only knows how many eyes are going to be on Disney Plus for when this thing drops. But, well, I'm sure it'll do well for them.
Yeah, it'll do well for them. I'm pretty sure most people have Disney Plus by now, or at least, I don't know, like, have it more than HBO Max. I mean, it might throw some big numbers for them. I'm pretty sure next month it's gonna be packed for them.
Yeah. Now I'm wondering, with Hamilton coming out on Friday, we now know the rule: you get precisely one fuck. Who will get the one fuck in this?
Oh, that's right. I wonder,
good question.
Oh, and knowing that it's Disney. Oh, wait, knowing that it's Disney.
My money's on Kendrick. Just call it a hunch.
I'm going to say Tierra Whack. I mean, it makes sense to me. The same rapper who brought us the beautiful lyrical phrase, titties in his face. I really got to re-listen to Flamagra now. Maybe once we're done recording. So, yeah, gonna keep an eye out for that sometime soon. Now, moving on to the next topic here, just as a friendly reminder, every other country is doing relatively solid with COVID-19. America is still shitting itself inside out.
I wouldn't say every other country, it's just the countries with the smart leadership and the smart constituents, you know, the people who have brains and aren't going to listen to bullshit conspiracy theories and memes.
Hmm.
Don't you understand? The masks are covering up the work of God, man. It's all just, it's all a conspiracy by the deep state to fucking suppress QAnon from, oh my God, I could fucking feel my gag reflex acting up just trying to impersonate those dumb fucks.
How do you survive living in Florida?
I'm not even sure I am. I might actually be completely insane at this point, and I just haven't even noticed. These are people who are allowed to drive. They can vote in elections. They've been employed at multiple places, perhaps, for actual non-monopoly money. These are considered functioning adults by some metric.
Oh boy.
And as proof that America is still shitting the bed where most other countries are at least making some kind of an effort, Bjork, you know, Space Ghost's wife, has recently announced a trio of August shows in Reykjavik, you know, native Iceland, complete with an actual audience that will be present there, because they are going to begin the process of reopening after having nearly eliminated the presence of coronavirus from the country. Of course, these shows won't just be relegated to the live setting, as they will also be live streamed in an attempt to raise money for domestic women's charities in both Iceland and the world. So, yeah, August 9th, 15th, and 23rd, these are described as being, quote, unplugged or acoustic and performed without beats and electronics. So, that's going to be happening at the Harpa Music Hall. Yeah, you know, hopefully this turns out well for them. Hopefully Reykjavik or Iceland in general doesn't get any more COVID-19 cases. You know, if only for the reason that they can continue to rub it in the face of the United States.
And hopefully they'll...
Yeah. I've been looking into them. They've been doing a very good job of maintaining the end goal of zero, which should have been the end goal from the start. But, you know, we have elected officials with shit for brains, quite literally. Also, I love how this is called Bjork Orchestral, although they did miss a great opportunity for a pun by calling it Bjorkestral.
Oh.
Dude, I said the same thing! Like, what the fuck?
Bjorkestral. The Bjorkestral!
Yeah. Very clever. But yeah. Once again, this is what happens when you have brains. You get rewarded, unlike those certain concerts in Tennessee where, guys, we're not there yet!
And hopefully Iceland will make sure no dumbass tourists who will come in there and fuck up the flow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure U.S. travel to, you know, the EU and other associated countries is banned because we're all shitting in our hands and flinging it at everyone.
Yep. Like a monkey with shit. Gotta get the monkey to sweep. We spawn.
How many people in Iceland have died from this? 10.
That's not terrible. That's not. It's still bad, but it's
zero,
not. It's not. It's not a million.
It's not, you know, 120,000.
Oh.
Yeah. Speaking of America. Time to move on to, you know, coronavirus festival cancellation news, where the latest victim, straight up on the chalking block, being Bonnaroo 2020, which is usually held in Manchester, Tennessee, originally delayed from June to September, and, not happening anymore. So, for anybody who was planning on going, it's been rescheduled to 2021 for June 17th to the 20th. Y'all got until July 31st to request the refund if you decide you don't even really want to go anymore. Yeah, they were originally planning 24th, 27th of September as well, but none of this. This shit is just straight up not happening at all. But at least Bonnaroo had the decent sense to leave well enough alone and cancel. Unlike... So...
Oh boy.
Just... There is a special kind of a dumb with this particular story. So who here has heard about this thing called the Herd Immunity Fest in Wisconsin? The Cheese State.
What in the Fuck.
Oh, yeah.
So, Wisconsin. Recently, there was news of a festival that was set to take place July 16th through the 18th at the Q&Z Expo Center in Ringle, Wisconsin. And this was primarily stacked up with various new metal acts, including the likes of Static X, Nonpoint, Dope, Boba Flex, Flaw, and apparently AC/DC and Metallica cover bands. We could assume they probably give new metal tinges to those acts, which,
Yeah, this is basically a bunch of early 2000s new metal, terrible cover bands, and an AC/DC and Metallica tribute as well. Because if you all know anything about Nonpoint, you'll know them for that god-awful, terrible cover of In the Air Tonight. You built up to the drum fill. You don't do it three times in the same song.
Way to completely miss the point.
Yeah.
Now,
I missed a lot of stuff, apparently.
Now, you're probably noticing a lot of things off here. First off, this lineup is shit. Second of all, COVID-19 has been quite on the rise within Marathon County, where the city of Ringle is located. Third, the extremely tasteless name, Herd Immunity Fest. There was really a time to be making that kind of joke.
Once again, conspiracy theories and memes. This is where we are as a society in 2020. Isn't it fucking amazing?
And speaking of that, there's been, of course, as expected, shit not going well with this idea, because bad ideas can only ever get so much worse. In this case, Nonpoint dropped off the bill sometime after the announcement, according to them, because of the festival's awful name, but in reality, because they possibly got called out. Well, they actually did get called out, but this might have been the actual reason. By Spider-One, the frontman of a band that you have not thought about since 2003, Power Man 5000. Actually, was it even 2003? Maybe it's 2000. Maybe I'm being way too generous with that estimation.
Yeah. Nowadays, they've gone totally 80s new wave for some reason.
I don't know if that's a good thing or not. But moving on. So, Spider-One took to Twitter to shame everyone involved in the festival, saying, quote, "A bunch of bands that I consider peers and some friends are partaking in a show called Herd Immunity Fest, which by that title is basically saying to the fans, come see us and we hope you get sick. What the actual fuck?" And then Nonpoint replied, announcing, quote, "Hey brother, Nonpoint is not playing because of the way the festival is named. We have dropped off." Let this sink in for a moment, kids. We live in a timeline where the frontman of fucking Power Man 5000 technically qualifies as a voice of reason.
I'm gonna call BS on the whole, we're leaving because of the way this is named. No. If you had a problem with how it was named, we wouldn't have signed on to begin with. It's like, top of my head, I don't know, sharing a video by saying, hey, look at these guys, they support me. And then claiming that, I didn't hear these people in the first 5 seconds yelling, white power, because I'm an idiot. And a liar. And an asshole.
And a little dick nigga.
That too, yeah.
And yet, Twitch has the right... Yeah, Twitch has the right idea of banning it, of suspending his account, yet Twitter don't do a fucking thing.
When Twitch does a better job, when Reddit does a better job, even when YouTube kind of does a better job. You have one job, Jack. Come on.
And we're not sure if he even can do that job. Now, unfortunately, it appears that the festival is still going to be going on, but apparently they have to change the name, as if that was the problem and not the fact that this is happening at all. A quote from the actual venue, it's...
One more thing. There was a band who came in to replace Nonpoint.
Ah.
A band who is equally as crappy. Adelita's Way, another band you haven't thought about in, like, 10 years, at least.
Make that 15.
Precisely.
I don't know, I think they're, like, Diet Atreyu, if I remember correctly, which is weird, because I thought Atreyu was Diet Atreyu, but... So, yeah. There's your selling point now. Adelita's Way! But... Anyway, going back to a statement from the venue, quote, "For the record, the venue's land can accommodate up to 10,000 occupancy. This is an outdoor event for 3 days. We are only selling 20% of that, so anyone has the choice and ability to social distance. The festival is also not called Herd Immunity, and the name no longer tied to any of our social media promotion." So, at max, this thing will have, like, 2,000 people. Assuming anyone wants to go for, friggin' Static X and Dope. The fucking, you know, this, whatever the fuck, what are the fuck they calling it now? July Minifest?
The July Minifest. Yeah.
Minifest, what the fuck?
That is the name of someone... That is the name of an event that whose organizers have just given up. God, this friggin'... What even is this? I mean, here's another statement from the venue. Yeah. This coming from an NBC Chicago piece on the whole thing, saying, quote, "As humans, we need other human contact. Music in itself is great, but the live streams, as I am sure you all know, is just not the same we need live. Feel it to the bones, run shivers up your spine. Music with people around us takes us all away on a trip. Unless you have felt it, you won't understand," the post says. And I'm trying to read that as it's written in context with absent punctuation and weird capitalization that honestly kind of sounds like, what the fuck is that Batman series that Lee Carr is always reviewing? Where fucking Batman's always speaking in capitals?
Oh yeah, Aspar. Aspar.
That's the one. Oh, wait, I forgot. He's not Batman. He's Crazy Steve.
Oh, yeah. I think I can pull off the voice. Let me just pull it up here real quick. "As humans, we need other human contact. Music in itself is great, but the live streams, as I am sure you all know, it's just not the same. We need live. Feel to the bones. One shivers up your spine. Music with people around us." Which is weird because, you know, Batman hates rock and roll. Also, "This is an outdoor event for 3 days."
Oh, dear God, this fucking thing.
Why
so,
yeah, this is...
Why was it shivering your spine? Do you know what else was shivering your spine? The feeling you get when you might get a fever the next few days after that.
Yeah, quick PSA. Do not risk your life for a quote-unquote festival in the middle of nowhere. And by the way, if this is actually happening outside of the Q&Z Expo Center, technically that's better. Because inside, it's like 700 people can fit inside. And based on the images I'm seeing, this is where bands at the end of their career go to die.
Yeah. So, for those of you who want to spend $105.50 for a 3-day pass to watch...
What?
Yeah. $105. You know, I'm pretty sure for that I could buy, like... I don't know how many... Like, 2 Switch games, probably... I'd probably need a little bit extra, but, you know,
that's,
still.
That's like, I don't know, like, maybe like, food for a month or something, or 2 weeks, depending on how many people you're feeding.
Pretty much, yeah. And that would actually be a more valuable use of time, because at least it's actually contributing something to society, something that, Dope have never done. Yeah. fucking God, this whole pandemic.
We're never, it's never going to end, isn't it?
Probably not. It was nice knowing y'all. Anyway, with that bullshit news out of the way, time to move on to the last little thing here, and that is the new album releases for the week of July 3rd, 2020. As previously mentioned, there is the upcoming Jesu mini LP Never coming out on Wednesday. Then on actual Friday, we have releases like the new Boris album, No. There's a new Bury Tomorrow project, Cannibal. There is a new project from West Side Gun, Fly God is an Awesome God Part 2.
Oh.
Yeah, there's that. We're finally getting that posthumous Pop Smoke album, Shoot for the Stars, Aim for the Moon. And last but not least, the new Willie Nelson album, First Rose of Spring. And so with that out of the way, now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, or of Azure in the Discord and wherever else I feel like popping up. You never know where I might show up or when I might show up. Also, follow along on the SR Twitter because we're going to be doing anime festival updates throughout the weekend. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, go follow.
Yes, you should absolutely do that. At Surreal Rezo on Twitter. Mark, what about you?
On Twitter and Metro Media, where I can retweet the Surreal Rezo feed, so the Anime Expo, Anime Con shit going on. So yeah, I'm gonna help them out. I guess this shit. I guess that's it. I'm doing that. Also on my site, mindhyperwordpress.com. And since it's almost July, that means the anime season starts, which means all the shows that got delayed will finally arrive. And I might do a top 20 list of something. I haven't revealed to you yet because I'm keeping it hush hush. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah, lot of activity on the interwebs. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Curious Cat, etc. at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video stuff usually goes up on the YouTube channel, so subscribe, hit the bell tab when stuff goes up there. Once again, follow us on Twitter at SurrealRezo. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website for, you know, written content, this podcast, podcast, ONA, which I'm sure will probably be busy with these virtual cons and stuff. It's going to be a lot of activity, so keep in touch with all of that. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat so you can bitch about the turnip prices in Animal Crossing. You fucking little tanukis, I swear to God, if you don't give me those spikes that I want so I can pay off the debt on my friggin' basement. Sorry. Sorry.
Capitalism.
I'm like this close. I'm halfway there. And of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, thank you all for tuning in this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with the usual business. And until then, yeah, I've been sitting this whole time, Christopher Nolan. What are you going to do about it? You're going to threaten me with a movie premiere through Fortnite?
Hey, where my chicken tender crystal go?